You turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 15. It's our scripture text. It's a very short, specific, and beautiful text. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. It's that time of the year. Everybody's worrying about buying gifts, and the shopping malls are full, and the bell ringers are standing out there wanting you to stop by and drop some money into that little red kettle. The stores, many of them, still ignoring Christmas, speaking only of holidays, for example. Remembering as you're about during the day, the last week and probably this week as well, you're stopping to remember, let's see now, I plan to buy this gift and I still haven't got it yet, or I need to get just the right gift, but it's got to be at the right price to meet my budget. So we're just in that mindset. It seems like this time of the year it just kind of dominates us. A fellow bought a beautiful diamond ring, gorgeous diamond ring, for his wife for Christmas. And after hearing about this incredibly extravagant gift, a friend of his said, I thought your wife wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles, you know, like one of those sporty Jeeps or something like that. And the fellow says, yep, that's what she wanted, but where was I going to find a fake Jeep? I liked it. Have you ever wanted a certain gift and you found yourself given clues of the gift that you want, hoping that your friend or family member, whoever in your home, might hear that clue and would act on it and respond, but you're giving those clues out. Two young boys had spent the night at their grandparents' house, and at bedtime, the two boys knelt beside their bed to say their prayers. And when the youngest little fellow began praying at the top of his lungs, and he's praying and he's saying, I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new bicycle. And his older brother leaned over and he nudged him and he said, why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf. To which his little brother replied, I know, but Grandma is. I want Grandma to hear this. Or perhaps you find yourself shopping, and as you're shopping for someone, you're trying to find just the right gift for somebody, and as you're shopping, you find something that you would really like to have for yourself. And you weren't out shopping for yourself, but before you know it, you're buying something that you were thinking about for somebody else, but you decide to go ahead and buy it. A father was shopping in a department store. He was in the toy department on Christmas Eve. And the dad looked at this toy and he said, oh my, what a marvelous train set. It's just terrific. I've never seen one that looks as great. I'll buy it. So the girl behind the counter said, oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure your son's going to really love it. To which the father replied, oh yeah, I bet he would. I better take two of them. Dad was just buying it for himself, you know. The Santa Claus was at the shopping mall, and all the little children was there and coming to sit on Santa Claus's his lap. But he was real surprised when a young woman named Emily, about 20 years old, came up and sat down on Santa Claus's lap. And we all know Santa Claus doesn't generally take requests from adults, but she smiled at Santa Claus very sweetly and was really nice to him. So he looked at her and says, well, what do you want for Christmas, young lady? And she says, well, it's for my mother. I'm really concerned for my mother. I want you to get a present for my mother. And Santa Claus says, for your mother? You want something for your mother? Well, that's very loving and thoughtful of you. And Santa smiled and says, now tell me what it is you want for your mother. The young lady looked at Santa Claus and says, a son-in-law. She was only concerned about her mother, you understand. Yeah. But later, that same Santa Claus, he was, I guess this young businessman saw this older woman sitting on Santa Claus's lap. So he thought he'd take a turn. So he goes up to Santa Claus. He didn't sit on his lap. But he goes up to Santa Claus and he says, well, can I ask for a special gift? And Santa Claus says, well, what is it you're asking for? He says, well, what I want, Santa Claus, is a spectacular job. I want an incredible job that no man has ever succeeded at or even attempted to do. Santa Claus looked at him and said, let me get this straight. You want this fantastic job that no man has ever even attempted, much less tried to do or even succeeded at doing. That's what you want. And that fellow says, that's it, Santa. That's what I want. And Santa thought about it for just a minute. And he says, poof, you're a housewife. Come on, guys. Yeah. That no man has ever succeeded at, right? Exactly. Yeah. Sherry said amen. She likes it. Yeah. Well, as we begin the mad dash for gifts, maybe we're ending that mad dash these next few days, completing that Christmas shopping, may God help us just to pause for just a moment. And pausing, remember His unspeakable gift to you and to me. It's an unspeakable gift that's very personal, it's very practical, it's very pleasing, and it's permanent. So let's break that down for just a minute and examine that breakdown. First of all, this gift, this spectacular gift that God gives us, His Son, it's a personal gift. The scripture you see in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's the gift of God. Our world offers very little personal attention anymore. You get on the phone to call the business, you know what happens. You get a recording, press 1 for this, press 2 for this, press 3, and you're trying to listen for what you're there calling for, and they never bring it up, and you hit 0 and nothing happens. You know what I'm talking about. It's impersonal. Mass production, mass communications, it's all on Facebook or Twitter or emails. Oh, we've got the latest electronics and the latest systems, the latest software. We got the latest apps we download on our iPhones or on our iPhone watches. And all those things are there, but yet it seems to eliminate the personal touch in things. The ideal of a tailor-made gift, for example, I mean, it really should be the ultimate goal when we're buying somebody a gift. You know, a gift that's really personal. But it really can't be unless we know a person's likes and dislikes and their needs or their interests. And it takes time being with another person, caring about them, to get to be able to come to that point where you know those things about somebody else. Their likes and dislikes and needs. Christ, you think of Jesus. Jesus was our tailor-made gift. He was a personal gift. Jesus was a personal gift from our Heavenly Father. And He became our personal Savior, didn't He? Bringing salvation, bringing hope, bringing peace, bringing joy, bringing comfort, bringing assurance, all by His presence in our lives. What an incredible personal gift God has given us. Then another way to look at that gift is it is a very practical gift. The scripture there in Matthew 11, 28, one of the favorite, God's favorite words, I think, in the Bible, come. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is saying that to you and me today if we'll listen. If our spirits will hear, He's saying, come to me. Whatever worry, whatever trouble, whatever anxiety, whatever problem, whatever heaviness that's in your life, come to me. He says, whatever it is, I will give you rest. Oh, He'll give us rest. It's a practical gift, isn't it? It's very practical. A lady was wanting her husband to give her a real special gift for Christmas. And she told her husband, I expect to be waking up on Christmas Day and to see in my driveway that thing that I want that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds. She's talking about a fancy sports car, I mean a powerful engine, really, really, really fancy. Well, on Christmas morning she wakes up and she looks outside in the driveway. There's not a car there. But there's a beautifully wrapped gift in the driveway. So she runs out to get it, and she's thinking, well, I bet he's put the title to my new sports car in that little box, and it's going to be delivered later. So she runs inside and she opens the package thinking, yes, I'm going to find the title of this card that goes from 0 to 206 seconds. And she opened that box and pulled it out, and it was a bathroom scale. And it went from 0 to 200 just like that when she got on. I think her husband's been missing since last week. But you see, a bathroom scale is a very practical gift, isn't it? It's very practical. There's a lot of gifts that we get that aren't useful at all. You've gotten gifts like that. Everybody in this room has gotten a gift like that. You kind of go, well, what am I going to do with that? We can remember a few of those in our lives. And some gifts we get are very practical gifts, like the bathroom scale. There are a lot of folks in churches all across America today, and they're in churches for very practical reasons. They're there because it's the right thing to do. They're there, that's because what you're supposed to do. Or they're there because that's where they can find friends or feel connected. But Jesus, think about it. Jesus as a gift, it's not about the glitz and the glitter. It's not like some white elephant package you get at the office Christmas party that you can't use. He's a gift that's promised us that he says, I will give you rest. And rest of men's minds and hearts is sorely needed all around us today. As a gift, Jesus brings the most practical thing that we need, and that's cleansing from our sins. That beautiful verse in 1 John 1:7-9, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, aren't you thankful today that Jesus has cleansed you from all unrighteousness? You know, I've noticed, maybe y'all have noticed, that through the season here at Christmas time, I've seen several commercials by Franklin Graham on television. Those commercials by Franklin Graham are so beautifully done because they show, Reverend Graham says, if you'll just reach out and confess your sins, ask Jesus to forgive you, come into your heart and be your Savior. He makes it so beautiful and straightforward, and it's the truth, isn't it? It's still true today. If you'll just confess your sins and reach out in faith to Christ, ask him to forgive you and to come into your heart, he'll be your Savior. He'll love you and bless you. It's what a beautiful, wonderful thing it is. So we've looked at a personal gift. We looked at Jesus as a very practical gift. Next, let's look at Jesus as a very pleasing gift. In Psalm 107 and verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. There's so many folks all around us today. If folks were just suddenly honest and begin to just express their deep, honest emotions and feelings, folks would tell you how much they have a longing in their souls for something. They don't know what it is. There's a God-sized emptiness inside of them. They're just something wrong, and they can't quite put their hand on it. And Jesus is saying, I will fill that need. I will fill that hungry soul. My goodness and my presence will come in and be with you and bless you. You know, sometimes a gift comes from somebody with very limited means. They don't have much money at all. But they want to give us a gift or give a gift to someone. Maybe it's handmade, maybe it's sewn or created or prepared or cooked or whatever, but it didn't cost much, but it came with a lot of love and a lot of effort. When I was a little boy growing up, my grandparents, my dad's parents, Earl and Pearl McLaughlin, had a farm in Oklahoma, and their only income was from the farm. My grandfather also pastored the Church of God in Stroud, Oklahoma, but his income from that church couldn't have been more than $10 or $20 a month. So all the farm income, they sold eggs, they sold cream, they sold milk, they would have a crop where they would have soybeans or peanuts or maybe alfalfa or milo that would be a money crop he would sell to make a little money every year, once a year. He'd sell off a few calves every year that he'd have, extra calves, he'd sell those off. So the only money they had was the very limited means of income from that farm. They lived very simple lives. They had 17 grandchildren, and they had six children. So six children and 17 grandchildren, at Christmas time, they couldn't afford to give any kind of really big deal kind of gifts. And every year, as one of the grandchildren, I knew I would get a lovingly wrapped pair of socks with a wrapped up piece of hard candy inside of that, because Grandma would give all of the grandchildren basically that same gift. And I understood. I knew as a little boy that that gift came with more love than I could ever imagine. And I knew I could hear my grandmother often say, "Lenny, I wish we could give you more, but we love you." You know that, don't you? You know, those gifts that come with love mean so much, don't they? The gift may not be very valuable, but the love behind it means so much to you. One year, we had spent Christmas Eve night on the farm with my grandparents, and all my cousins and aunts and uncles had been there for Christmas Eve. And they all left, and it was just my family, my parents and my sister and I there to spend the night. And after everybody had left, Grandma came up to me, and she had a little box, and it was wrapped. She said, "Lenny, I've got an extra gift for you, but you've got to promise that you won't tell any of the other grandkids that I'm giving you this gift." And she didn't have to say it, but she knew that in my family situation with my father's alcoholism and just the lack of funds, that my parents just didn't have money really to give us gifts that other kids might get that particular Christmas. And so she gave me this gift. It was a little bronze horse, just like that little horse you see there. I remember when I opened that little package, I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and I just loved that horse because it was so special of how it was given to me. As a little child, I understood that. I can remember taking that horse home and putting it in my chest, on top of my little chest in my bedroom. And then a year or two later, my grandmother did the same thing again. And this time it was a little silver one that looked just like that, matched it, but it was silver. And she gave it to me with so much love, and I treasured those horses. They meant so much to me. But the most precious gift, ever given, it took love and sacrifice and even the brutality of beatings and death. The best gift ever given, it cost heaven's best, and that's Jesus. The scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 4 says of Jesus, chosen of God and precious. That's our Savior, chosen of God and precious. Millions are longing for something to satisfy the emptiness of their lives. I will tell you, Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only hope for those that are longing for something in their lives. He has saved more people. He has solved more problems than any lawyer. He has salvaged more homes than any counselor. And He has brought more peace than any general. He is indeed a pleasing gift. Aren't you thankful for Jesus today? So finally today, we look at a personal, a practical, a pleasing gift. And then how about a permanent gift? That Hebrews 13 and 5 promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do something for me today, just a little bit different. Would everyone just close their eyes for just a second and close your eyes and say it with me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That promise is personal to us today. He's saying that to us. So many gifts that we get are made out of cheap, flimsy material. You know, they don't last very long. They're faulty workmanship. They just don't last. When I was a little boy in the fourth grade, In fact, in my neighborhood when I grew up, there was a grocery store. It was an affiliated grocery store. It was owned by a fellow named Guy Jones. And there wasn't any big fancy supermarkets around our neighborhood, so my mother always shopped in the little affiliated grocery store. It was a small grocery store. And inside that grocery store at Christmas time, the owner had these shelves that lined the whole store above all the food and everything up kind of high. So as you went through the store, all the walls were these shelves, and he put all these Christmas toys and gifts. That's so Mom and Dad, when they go through the store, they'd see these toys, they'd buy them for their children. You know how that worked. That's what they was doing. Of course, what happened was when the kids went through the store, they saw all those toys and gifts, and they longed for the particular toy or gift, like at least I did. There was a gift up there on the shelf there in that affiliated food grocery store that I wanted so bad, and I knew my parents couldn't afford it. It was a Remco Johnny Reb cannon. And there it is right there. A toy collector had this image. I couldn't believe when I found it. That's my Johnny Reb cannon right there. It had a plunger. It had three cannonballs. Now, and that thing was sitting up there in a big box on a shelf in that store. Oh, how I wanted that cannon. You see, as a little boy, I'm about 9 years old, we were always playing war. Either war or we were playing cowboys and Indians. Some guys got to be the Indians, some guys got to be the cowboys, and we had our cap guns, and it was that. Or we were playing war. One group was the Americans, and one was the Germans. We were attacking one another. And all I could think of, if I had that cannon, and we're playing war, I'm telling you, we'd be on the winning side. You know what I'm saying? I wanted that cannon. On Christmas morning, I got up. There was a big old package under the tree, and I opened it up, and that cannon was under there. Somehow, some way, my mom had finagled and put it in layaway at that store, put a little dollar or two with it. And, you know, I think it cost probably $12 or $14, and my parents couldn't afford that kind of money for a gift at Christmas when I was growing up. But I got that Johnny Reb cannon. I was so excited. Oh, man, I put that plunger in there, shoot my sister with it. It was great. It was so good. It was great. But you know what? In just barely 3 months after Christmas time, that cannon broke. The big old spring in there just broke, and you could shove the cannonball in there, and the only way you could get it out is turn it upside down and shake it. It wouldn't come out. I was so mad. It didn't last at all. But I'm going to tell you, all the earthly treasures are all temporary. Everything in this earth are temporary and fleeting, and they wear out, they corrode, they deteriorate. All the stuff that we think is so important, may we pause and remember that there is a permanent gift, and that permanent gift is Jesus. He gives us everlasting life. We must receive Him. We must walk with Him. We must witness for Him. We must win others over for Jesus. We all remember that scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We have eternal, everlasting life because of that promise, because of that hope, because of that relationship. Because we're born again and we're part of the kingdom of God. Oh, aren't you thankful for that today? It's a permanent gift, an everlasting gift. So in conclusion this morning, in the Christmas season and the superficial busyness and craziness that often accompanies the season, shopping and gift buying and busyness and dinners and parties to attend and cars to fill out and all those things that we do, may God help us just to pause for a moment, to let the Holy Spirit touch our spirits, and remember, thanks be to God for that unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God that born in a stable, lying in a manger, to a virgin, the Son of God came for one purpose only, to give His life. To die and to shed His blood on the cross so that we could be reunited with our Heavenly Father and our Creator. Do you know Jesus today? Is He your Savior? Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the incredible, wonderful gift that you've given us. May we never take it for granted. May we never just be shallow in our receiving it. But with gratitude and love and with a depth of understanding, may we express our gratitude to you, Father, and to you, Jesus, our Savior. And with every head bowed and every eye closed still here in this church today, if you're here and you're not certain about your relationship with the Savior, and you want to be, you want to know with certainty that Jesus is your Savior, your sins are forgiven, and that heaven will be your home, would you simply raise your hand? I won't embarrass anyone. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want that certainty in my life. Would you help me with that? If that's your heart's cry, would you just lift your hand today? Is there anyone here? Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this church of believers that have trusted in Christ as their Savior. Thank you for the hope and the joy and the peace that only Jesus can give. Make it real for us. Let us trust you more and more with all of our hearts, looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you thanks for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.